You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Impressive work, hero. I think you're ready for more.
And Daryl.
Click the play button and let's get started.
Greetings and welcome to episode 169 of The Training Dummies, recorded on June 14th, 2017. My name is Daryl, and for good or bad, I'm not sure which, I'm still trying my hand at Hearthstone. So that's kind of where we're going with this evening. But with me, as always, is my co-host, Rob. How are you doing this evening, Rob?
I'm doing great, dude. I feel like there's going to be a point where you get called out, and I don't know if we should just do that sooner than later, or how do you want me to wait? Or
what do you mean called out? Called out how?
You can't keep playing the noob card when you hit rank 12 in our stuff. Yeah, but
I think that was a fluke last month, because I can't get past. I hit 17 briefly today, and I'm back to 18. So I don't know what happened.
Everybody, though. I remember a couple months ago, I was like, I can't get past rank 18. And I've been playing for years now. So it has nothing to do with. So yeah, I think you have to, it's time to move on from that. It's time to say, like, I'm not a noob. I just want to get better.
But I am a noob. Stuff happens all the time that I don't understand.
Noobs don't hit rank 12. They just don't. And maybe our guest can help clarify that.
Yeah, let's ask him. Let's give Big Training Dummies a welcome to our guest this evening. And this is second or maybe even third time being on with us. It's Justin.
You may hear me mention Justin a lot, because he's actually one of my gaming buddies who helps me out with a ton of stuff. So it's always really, really good to have Justin here on the show. Thanks for coming on to talk some more Hearthstone.
Hearthstone. Hey guys, thanks for having me.
So what do you think? You think somebody who hits rank 12 can keep playing the noob card, or do you think at one point you just go, look, man, like you're doing something. You like the game, you want to get better at it.
Yeah, he's not allowed to do that anymore.
There, it's official.
Totally. One trick pony.
Man, it's like the first month you started playing, right? Like really started playing the ranked mode.
Because I got the rogue deck, and that was easy to just get up to 12, and then, yeah. If I try anything else, it's terrible. And even rogue, I can't get past 17 right now, so. Still a noob.
something that happened to me last month, though, too, was, when you try to play in the first week or two of the month, that's when the ladder resets, and a lot of, mm-hmm. like, mid to higher rank people are actually knocked down to, you know, the mid and some even lower points of the ladder. So I think when you play at the beginning or, you know, the first couple of weeks, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, well, we're halfway through the month now, so hopefully that should start thinning out a bit, I would hope.
All right, so you've been admittedly like on the fence about this game, and I don't know what the turning point was, because the same thing happened with me. Like Justin for a long time was like, you gotta play this game. I'm like, no, I hate this game, it's dumb. And then finally, like, I'm like, no, I like this game, it's fun. Like, and it has its super frustrating moments, but like, have you feel like you've turned that corner where you're like, all right, fine, let's do this?
I'm still kind of on the fence. Like I'm I think right now it's a knowledge thing. I don't know enough about the game. I really don't, because I'm still pulling the noob card, because there's so much I still don't know. Like I played a paladin one. It was actually a quest paladin, and which I don't think I'd seen before. And he got the card that it adapts five times.
Yeah.
So it was it was stealth was one of his adapts, so I couldn't attack it. But I had just played my quest card on my rogue, so I managed to get him down to one health. Actually, one health I got him to, because I couldn't attack his quest minion that he had up. And then all of a sudden he buffed it up to 16 health, and in his meantime he had one of his adapts was Wind Fury, and then I was dead. It was like, well, I've never seen that before. So yeah, that was all new again.
Yeah, but the fact you're explaining that, and you know what you're talking about, you're talking about how the card adapted and it had Wind Fury and it had stealth. So see, like, this stuff is all starting to click with
you
now.
I know some of these. Yeah, those are, like, simple terms.
Not that long ago, you would have been like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right, I suppose. Well, maybe we should just get into it here.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, Justin's been on a couple of times. I don't know how much of an actual intro. Justin, do you want to maybe talk about who you are in our circle? Or?
Yeah. So I just play a Fury Warrior and had one job with you two. And as for Hearthstone, man, I loved Hearthstone since early beta. Before I even got the invite to the game, I used to consume a ton of media from a bunch of people, Trump especially, I think, early. Now I'm more of a Crypt guy, but I still like both of them.
I'm Team Kibler.
Me too.
And I don't know who those people are.
Dice, all those guys.
I know, man. I could, before we were recording, I was talking with Tiffany and her husband, and they were like, who do you like to watch? And I was just like, I found myself listing like a dozen people, and I'm like, oh, yeah, and then Tice, and then Firebat, and then Savit. And I'm just like, oh, man, I guess, you know what? All right. I have come full circle. Not only do I like and enjoy the game, I consume content outside of game. I watch streams. I follow it. Like, it's just like super funny.
Yeah, often I'll have a stream on the side while I'm playing Hearthstone. Sometimes I'll get confused because a card will be played on the stream or something, and I'll be like, oh, they played that. And then I look on my screen, and oh, they didn't play anything. That was the stream.
That's funny, yeah. Yeah, he's Justin's, like you were saying originally, he's a killer Fury Warrior. He's been tearing it up for our team just for a while now. I don't know, man. You go back and forth between teams. You're one of those guys that kind of like does a really good job, but no matter what you do. So it's I love having you on the team.
Thanks, man. I always seem to go back to the Fury Warrior, though. That's my true love, I guess.
All right. Well, I don't think a whole lot outside of that to get into. I know Daryl has been chomping at the bit to talk some more Hearthstone, and who am I to stop him?
Yeah, but you should. You shouldn't encourage this.
No, it's good.
All right. Let's do this first.
This is Supercat from Ask Mr. Robot, and if you have a problem, yo, I'll solve it. While you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or want to find out what we are doing, we are definitely active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Daryl _TTD. And Daryl, I will let you to get into this here.
All right, so the whole reason what we're doing here is I still don't know what a lot of stuff means in Hearthstone. Aggro decks, I kind of know what that means now, whereas because Rob explained it to me. I don't know. I think it was even on a show a few episodes ago where if you'd have said aggro deck, I would have thought a taunt deck because they're taunting. Therefore, they're getting aggro. That's what it would mean to me as coming from Warcraft, especially playing that for 12+ years. But I now know that's not the case. But anyway, there's still a lot of decks that I don't know what they mean. So that's kind of what I want to learn and how do you recognize those? And so, like, if it's a control deck, what does it mean if it's a control deck? How do I recognize it's a control deck? Like, I have no idea. I don't even know what that means, really. It's just some term that I keep hearing over and over. So, Justin, if you want to start off with that one and just kind of help me learn.
So you feel like you are starting to understand the game a little bit, but now you're hearing, like, when we're talking about all these different archetypes and you want to know a little more what's going on with that.
Yeah, because I even looked at, like, there was one guide when I was trying to build a deck online and a net deck, and it was like, well, if they play this card then do this, or if they're this type of deck, I'm like, well, how do you even know? Like, that's so, yeah, I don't know, so that's why I need help. So Justin, do you want to start with control?
Yeah, so first off, I think it's kind of funny that you thought aggro decks were taunt decks. It makes total sense, though.
It does,
course,
make total
coming
sense
from World of Warcraft. Taunt, aggro.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, you have to attack them. They have aggro.
Exactly.
But no, aggro is short for aggressive. So anyway, let's get on to control. So control decks like to play the long game. They play a lot of cards that outvalue opponents, as in they get more than one card for one card. So a few examples are like Dragonfire Potion and Priest, Brawl and Warrior, Flame Strike and Mage. Do you know those cards?
No, I don't.
I'm sure you've seen all of them.
Potion.
I'm sure they smashed my face, but I'm not sure what they do offhand.
No, your Dragonfire Potion is your favorite. It's the priest card that just does 5 damage to everything.
Oh, yeah, that Rek'Sai rogue deck, right?
Which is super, super powerful against the quest rogue, yeah.
Then you have Brawl for Warrior, which is the spell that destroys all minions on the board except for one at random. I'm sure Warriors have played that against you.
Yeah, now that you say that, I have seen that one.
Flame Strike and Mage is the 7-mana spell that deals 4 damage to all enemy minions. Anywho, they typically like to play those kind of cards, and then they like to finish off the opponent with high-cost cards. So I've actually linked you some deck lists that go along with these different types that I've listed.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, for the Control Mage one, I actually sent you a Control Mage link here. So the way you can kind of recognize a Control deck is they usually don't play very many cards in the early game.
Okay.
They might play cards like Mistress of Mixtures, which is like a high-statted, low-cost minion that has kind of a death rattle that extends the game a little bit. It restores health to both heroes. However, you know, a lot of the time a control deck just won't play any cards the first couple of turns. And that's sometimes how you can tell. Like if you're going against a priest or a warrior and they're not playing any cards the first couple of turns, you can usually bet that those are going to be control types. Or they could be aggro with really bad draws. But for the most part, aggro is going to get their early game because they have so much of it in their deck.
So what makes it control then? Why is it called control? Like, what are you controlling?
You're controlling the enemy's board state. You're trying to make sure that they have the smallest board possible so you can build yours up afterwards.
So a control deck will typically run cards that can answer just about anything until they just play you out of the board and then start taking over.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. There's a certain turn that most control decks get to, which is their swing turn, and that's when they turn the game around. Like, when a warrior plays a dirty rat and then brawls, and then their dirty rat wins, well, all of a sudden, you have a 2/6 on the board, and the opponent has nothing, unless they had death rattles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at that point, the game starts to turn in your favor, because all of your minions are way bigger than anything the opponent can play.
Right, okay.
That's the idea behind winning with control decks.
Okay, I think that makes sense now. Okay.
Yeah, so they're kind of heavier decks.
Mm-hmm.
When I say heavier, I mean they have a higher total mana cost than the typical deck.
Do you remember a couple of times when we were trying to make decks, like Justin would ask you to look at your curve and you could see, like, it would show you how many cards you have and, like, the cost of the cards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's basically you trying to see, like, you know, the weight of your deck, whether you're playing really heavy, high-costed minions or, you know, an aggro deck will play a lot of cheap, low-costed minions to try and, you know, get as much out there as quickly as possible.
Exactly. So you also listed a few other deck types here that I'll go over. So aggro is the next one you had here.
Yeah.
Or did you have any questions about control?
No, I think I got that now. The way Rob explained it, that helped a lot too. So yeah, I think I got it.
Okay. So as for aggro decks, they're more of the type of deck that plays the face game. And when I say the face, I'm talking about just the opponent's health pool, their hero.
Mm-hmm.
They like to play a lot of low-cost minions, and a lot of the time they'll even avoid trading with enemy minions, just so they can get more face damage in. Unless they're playing against other aggro decks, a lot of the time aggro versus aggro is actually a very board-centric control game, which is kind of funny. But they like to play lots of charge minions and cards that hit the opponent's face directly, like weapons and some spells as well. I'll give you a list to the probably one of the most popular aggro decks out there right now, Pirate Warrior.
Yeah, I don't like those. I've seen a few of those.
A lot of people will say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way you recognize those decks is they play a lot of low-cost and charge-type minions, and they will ignore trading into your minions. Recognizing an aggro deck is a lot easier early on than recognizing a control deck.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. The aggro happens so quickly. It's like, you know, once like the board is just full of crap, you know, you're like, oh, okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah, turn two, they have, you know, 2 charge minions and a 1/1 that is going to hit your face. They're probably an aggro deck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You kind of already knew about aggro deck.
Yeah, to some degree, yeah. So then mid-range, yes, that is.
So mid-range kind of falls somewhere between aggro and control. They play for value, like control decks do, but their mana curve is kind of on the lower end when compared to them. There's a really strong mid-range paladin deck right now that I linked you to. Okay. So the way you recognize them is a little bit different. It's kind of harder because sometimes they can look like aggro decks depending on how good their draw is. But basically, you're going to look for small minions and spells that they use to control the game early on. Then you look for impactful minions in the mid game. Turns 4 to 7 is typically like the mid game, and then 8 to 10 plus is late game. Okay. So, like, examples of big threats for paladin, for mid-range paladin are like the Murloc guy. What is his name? The 5/4 beast. Gentle Megasaur, I think his name is.
Megasaur, yeah.
Adapts all your Murlocs, and Paladin also has a card in that deck that changes his hero power to create 1/1 Murlocs, so you can get a pretty insane board state in the mid game with that combo.
Mm-hmm. I actually saw that card today. That adapt all your Murlocs. That was horrible because he had like three of them on there and gave them all Wind Fury. It's like, are you kidding me? What is this crap?
Yeah, it never does that when I play it. But
what is this crap?
He uses it on me. Yeah.
I always get +1/+1 taunt and like can't be targeted by hero powers or spells. I'm like, great.
Yeah, it was Wind Fury. Awesome. I didn't even know that was an option to do them all at once.
Yep.
Noob. See? Noob.
No, because that's a very specific card, though. Like, it's not like,
yeah,
what? You didn't know what this one specific card does? How dare you?
But, I mean, exactly.
Really, unless you're doing your homework, a lot of this stuff is still quote-unquote new, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty true. The next one is interesting. It's Token.
Yeah,
Token decks are kind of a lot. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've heard that term quite a bit, even between like you and Brett both talking about it, and I have no clue what this is.
Yeah, so tokens, it's a word that's used in a lot of card games, and it usually refers to minions that are created by other means, like cards or hero powers, but are not actually collectible cards themselves. So, you know that 1-mana cost Firefly card? It's a 1-mana, 1/2 elemental that puts a 1/2 flame elemental into your hand?
Yeah.
That's a battlecry.
It's key for the Questrogue deck. That's one of the big ones. Yeah.
So the flame elemental that Firefly gives you, that's considered a token.
Okay.
A lot of the times, tokens are summoned as well. So like Razorfen Hunter is a basic card, I think. It's a 3-mana, 2/3 that summons a 1/1 boar. That 1/1 boar is also considered a token. The Paladin Hero Power is considered a token. So basically anything that's summoned that has no text on it and has low stats typically.
Okay.
So token decks themselves, they play like aggro and they like to go wide on the board, meaning they like to put a lot of minions out. And then what they'll do is they'll use buffs on those minions to win the game. So for an example, in Shaman, Bloodlust they'll use. And that'll give all their minions +3 attack, and they'll just go face and then destroy you. Savage Roar in Druid does the same thing, kind of. It does 2 attack to all your minions, and as well as 2 attack to your hero. And then they'll buff them up with cards like Mark of the Lotus and Power of the Wild. These decks are kind of easy to recognize if they play a lot of minions on the board and have a lot of cards that produce other cards.
Okay.
Then they're probably going to be a token deck.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense then. Okay.
Yeah, I think one of the more popular ones right now is the Aggro Druid deck, which is considered a token deck, but I linked you to the Token Shaman deck here.
Okay.
So next, you actually weren't sure about what other type of decks there were. So are a couple of different type of decks that you didn't
I don't know what I don't mention. Know, yeah.
Don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
It's brilliant, really.
It is. Except I don't know.
But what don't you know?
Exactly.
I was like, what should I put here? No, but anyway, combo decks. So have you heard of combo decks before?
Well, you briefly were trying to explain it on Friday during a raid, but I didn't catch much, to be honest. So no, I know what a combo card does now, or what it says combo, what that means, but I don't know what a combo deck
totally
is.
Two totally different things.
Okay.
Yeah, so these are two totally different things. Combo, mechanic, and rogue. Is a totally different thing from saying a combo deck. Though, funny enough, the rogue deck that you've been playing, the Quest Rogue, that's a combo deck.
Okay, I'll believe you.
So anyway, The idea with combo decks is a lot of the time you just want to try to draw a lot of cards and get specific ones from your deck. So like with yours, you're trying to get your bounce effects, right? You're trying to get like your Gadgets and Ferryman and your Shadow Step and your Youthful Brewmaster. So that's your combo. Your combo is your quest, whatever minion you pick to bounce, and the cards that bounce that minion. And then, of course, your prep and the quest. That's a combo as well. Two mana quest is pretty crazy.
Okay.
But I actually linked you to the Freeze Mage deck. Freeze Mage is actually one of the oldest decks in the game, and it keeps coming back in different ways. It's the most recognizable combo deck in Hearthstone, I'd say, maybe besides Quest Rogue right now. But basically, they revolve around stalling the game until they draw Alexstrasza. Do you know what that card is?
Nope. Sounds legendary.
So it is a legendary. Alexstrasza is from the basic set, or sorry, from the classic set, and is a legendary 9-mana 8-8 with the battle cry, set either your health or your opponent's health to 15. And it doesn't affect armor. Armor will stay. But basically, the Freeze Mage stalls on the board with Frost Novas and Blizzards and Doomsayers and Flame Strikes and all this stuff until they can get to their late game and use Alexstrasza on their opponent and then finish them off with burn spells. And that's their combo.
Okay.
So the way you kind of recognize those decks are if they try to stall the game with cards that freeze, like Frost Nova or Blizzard, or if they have multiple cards in their hands for long periods of time. Like if you notice that he's held a card on the left for the entire game and hasn't played it, as well as the second card from the left and the third card from the left, you might be able to assume. Go ahead.
Oh, that just blows my mind that you look at that. I never look at that. He's got cards. I don't look at what cards he has. What ones he's playing or where they're positioned. See, you just saying there that are, something I've
like if you're playing on your of. On your PC, there's like overlays and stuff that will help you with that. But I don't know. I think that's something that you just pick up with time because I never used to care. And now I'm like, oh, he's had that same card. Or I'll watch. Like, you know that the Mimic Pod?
Yeah.
The one that will... So you'll see somebody play Mimic Pod and you'll go, okay, cards 3 and 4 in his hand are the exact same thing. So when he plays one of them, you know what the other one automatically is.
I've never even thought of doing that. I didn't even know that was an option that you could basically count his cards like that.
It's card counting for Hearthstone.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, and when you know somebody has the coin, you know which one that is. So, you know, when they're hanging on to it, you can go, well, he still has the coin and he has two other cards. So, and you could start kind of like, you know, if you see he's playing a Freeze Mage and you know he's holding on to these cards, or he's playing the Quest Mage and you know, okay, he's probably got the Sorcerer's Apprentice, or, you know, you just start to pick up on these weird little things over time.
So one thing that I'll do against the less perceptive players is I believe Mimic Pod and cards like that create other cards.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the first one actually doesn't say that it was created by Mimic Pod, only the second one does. So against less perceptive players, I'll play the one that I got first, and that one doesn't say that it's created by Mimic Pod, I believe. I could be wrong about that.
I don't think it does. I think it's the original one that you drew, and then the second one says it was created by whatever.
Yeah. So if they're not paying close attention, if they're not paying close attention, I can hide some information from them that way, and that gives me a slight advantage.
This is just blowing my mind right now. Seriously, I'm just like.
No, discover stuff really kind of messes with this because you have, you know, when somebody discovers there's one, it's. Like discover a priest, warlock, or mage spell. And when you're there's no way. Or a primordial glyph, or, you know, like where they could discover just about anything. You know, that kind of throws things off. But you could still get a lot of reads from it. Like when they play something, it will say, you know, was created by whatever other situation that happened.
Right.
Yeah, so one thing about Hearthstone is the card spots are static. So the card that you see on the far left for him is the card that he's held on to the longest.
Okay.
And you can't change the position of your cards, so it's a good skill to pick up to be able to track the cards in their hand, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't
know that. I think the easiest way to do that would be with something like a Mimic Pod. Next time you see somebody play that, just make a note of, okay, that went into you know, that's cards number 4 and 5 in their hand. And then when they play one of those, then you know what the other one is.
It also forces you to pay attention to the cards beforehand. So it's card 4 and 5 or whatever, but then he plays card 2, now they're cards 3 and 4.
Yeah,
so it's a hard thing to keep track of when you're playing on mobile, but if you're on PC and you're using like a deck tracker, it makes it way easier.
Yeah, they actually put like a little overlay that'll show you like little numbers on top of the cards, and you'll know, and it'll say like, just, it'll show you this one's the coin and this one's, you know, 1, 4, and 5, or, you know.
And this was drawn on this turn, and this was created by a different card. It has like a little flag for that. It's super useful. Some people consider it a little unfair, but I believe the Blizzard stance is that if it's something you can do with pen and paper, then they're fine with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. We went off on a tangent on that one.
Yeah, but that's the kind of
good tangent.
Yeah, that's a good tangent, because that stuff I had no clue about. Like, I just started to throw things about that I've kind of heard about. This is completely new. I had no idea. No idea that was even an option. So, yeah, that was a good
tangent. Things that you didn't know that you didn't even know.
Exactly. That was...
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, in that case, I have a couple more things then. So, you know when a person hovers over their card, you can see the red outline, and the card comes up just a tiny bit? Well, if you see the card come out above the board, that means they have the mana to play that card. So if it's turn one and they pull a card out and hover it over the board, but then bring it back in, you know that card costs 1 mana or less, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to pull it up.
Okay.
And that's a way you can hide information from your opponent, is if you're deciding whether you want to use a card or not, don't drag it out onto the board yet. Just kind of wait. If you drag it out onto the board and then decide you don't want to use it, if your opponent is sharp, they're going to catch on and be like, oh, well, that's a spell probably, and it costs 2 mana or less because you only had 2 mana left when you dragged it out onto the board.
Okay.
So cool little things like that.
All right.
Something you learn from playing a lot, I guess. But anyway, let's move on. We're going to talk about tempo decks next. Tempo is actually important to understand as a concept, I think. So tempo is when you kind of forgo card advantage for an advantage on the board. So you probably know the card Backstab in Rogue, right?
Yes.
So 0 mana, deal 2 damage to an undamaged minion.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, that'll kill a 1 mana or a 2 mana cost creature in exchange for 0 mana. And that gives you a mana lead or a tempo lead. So in the simplest terms, a tempo play is a play that extracts the best possible board state out of your mana. And I think the class that best illustrates this is Rogue. So the way you kind of recognize those decks is if they try to play a lot of cards quickly and they try to control the board very early in the game with high impact minions like Mana Worm in Mage, the 1 mana 1/3 that gains 1 attack whenever you cast a spell, or SI7 Agent in Rogue, which is the 3 mana 3/3 combo deal 2 damage. That's another great example of a tempo card. A lot of the time when Rogue is going second, a turn 2 play is coin SI7 Agent to kill whatever 2-drop they played. So what you did is you paid 3 mana to put out a 3/3, which is already good stats for 3 mana. And on top of that, you dealt 2 damage and killed an enemy minion. So that's a tempo play.
Okay.
You're just wanting to do more with the mana that you have rather than just play a 3 mana card. You're also wanting to see if maybe you can gain a second effect out of it.
Yes.
Okay. I think
it's kind of a hard concept to explain. I had to rewrite this part a lot because I wasn't sure how to go about.
It makes, well, when you talk about tempo, it's like the rhythm of the game, and what you're trying to do is break their rhythm and take it to your advantage. So if they're playing a 1 mana on 1 and a 2 mana on 2, you're trying to do something that's going to interrupt that and then give you the advantage back.
So kind of a weird thing. So for example, let's say you're playing against a mage and on turn 2 they ping your face, right? And that means they probably don't have any 1 or 2 mana cost cards. So then what you do on your turn two, you went second, you play a 1 health minion. And then on their turn 3, they end up having to ping your 1 health minion and then waste a mana. Cause you're like, okay, you know, they don't have any 1-drops. They didn't play it on turn 1. They didn't play a 1-drop on turn 2. They don't have one on turn 3, most likely. So if you force them to ping, they won't be able to play their 3-drop. And then all of a sudden you have a turn 3 where you can play whatever you want on the board uncontested. And that's also a kind of a way to gain tempo against classes like Mage and Druid, kind of force them to play off of their mana curve.
Okay, I think.
See, if they're spending two mana to ping your one health minion, they can't spend two extra mana to play a three mana cost or a four mana cost minion on turn four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the most part, if they're using their hero power on turn two, they're not putting anything on the board, and they're not gaining anything at that point. I think some small exceptions would be like, I don't know, rogues can have cards that benefit from you having a weapon equipped. I guess warriors do too, but the rogue hero power is a weapon, and like the druid hero power gives you armor and you can hit with it. But if they're using, like, if a warrior is, you know, armoring up, or a priest is healing something, you know, it's hard to gain board state value when you're just using your hero power that turn. I don't know if that's completely the best way to put that, but
you're exactly right. The highest tempo hero power is actually the rogue hero power. The priest hero power can be higher tempo if you have board control. Otherwise, it's rogue because they technically get two damage for two mana, whereas like mages and druids, they have to spend two mana and only get one damage out of it, because the rogue dagger has two charges on it.
Right.
So it's kind of an interesting dynamic between the classes. Rogue kind of sacrifices more health to get an extra attack the next turn, or any other turn. A lot of the times, rogues will save their dagger, and that's a pretty good play a lot of the time. But, you know, overall, recognizing decks is kind of easier the more you play them and the more you play against them. And when you get experienced enough, which takes a really long time and kind of changes when new expansions come out and new cards come out.
Mm-hmm.
But once you're experienced enough, you can start recognizing what deck your opponent is playing and kind of the cards they're going to play in their deck just based on the first card they play. So like if you're playing against a warrior and he plays a pirate on turn one, it's probably aggro warrior, pirate warrior.
Well, and with this expansion, like in some cases that's super easy because of the quest mechanic now that, you know, if you see somebody play the quest, then you basically know exactly what you're going to expect the rest of the game, right? Have you seen, like, what have you gone up against where within the first couple of turns you're like, oh yeah, I know what's going on here?
Well, the pirate warrior, I've seen that quite a bit, because they'll play a pirate and that out comes patches, and it's like, alrighty, right to the face, you know, what the hell? I don't have patches. I'd love patches for the
Oh, I know. Patches deck, even in the quest rogue.
I know, but I don't have it, so.
Good. Yeah. He's in charge now.
With the music, that's really the best part.
Yeah, the Murloc Paladin.
Yeah, that one could get out of control really quick, too.
Yeah, so those two for sure, like, I know, or generally,
have
I think
I know.
Have
you seen a lot of any of the quest warrior? Have you seen that one much?
Well, yeah, well, the quest ones, but like you said, you know what's going. So the quest warrior, if they play that, then you're going to see a lot of taunt cards.
I think with mage, you can get a lot of different variants right now. But the big thing that's like kind of drives me crazy with the mage stuff is just like the secrets and the fact that there's so many secrets and that you can test for a secret and you can kind of narrow it down and figure out what it is. And then the very next turn, they play another secret. And so everything you just did is kind of out the window again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got wrecked with a secret mage deck. I was playing Quest Rogue, and they had two secrets up, and I played my quest card, and one secret was to counter it, so I'm screwed already, and the next secret was to steal it. So I played my quest deck, and they countered mine and stole it. I was like,
that's amazing!
I didn't even know that was an option. I had no idea that was an option. It was like, so I was screwed. I was done. There's the whole point of the quest rogue is the small minions until you can buff them to 5/5, and then you got control there. And he took away the whole point of the quest deck, and I was done.
That's actually amazing.
I had
counterspell and mana bind. Mage.
I didn't even know it was an option. That's the,
So I've seen before though that there is a. It's like a one mana mage minion. Was it Cabal Lackey or so? Is the that lets you play a free secret?
Oh yeah, I think you got the name right. He's from Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, I think.
Yeah, I think he's a one mana, and it allows you to play a secret for free. I've seen plenty of times though where somebody will put that out on turn one, and it's a and it's a counterspell, and then the other person just tries to play the quest card on their turn one, and it just gets shut down too. That's pretty painful when that happens.
Oh man, that's why you got to use the coin first if they do that.
Yeah, if somebody ends up getting a secret out on turn one,
But I came across a mage. He didn't have the mana bind or whatever you just called that one tonight. Like I played a game tonight, but he had a secret out before I played my quest card. But I knew that he could counter it, so I actually had a spell that I could play before it. And sure enough, it was a counter, so I managed to save that game. Now that I know it can happen, but it was just that was devastating. Like it was just
It's just one of those things that like you have to. All right, you know, you see a mage come out, and you just know you got to be careful. You got to test for secrets. You got to, you know, try to figure out how to play around stuff. You see, you know, a quest warrior come out, and you're like, all right, I need to get my quest done super fast. Otherwise, it's just going to be a bunch of taunts on the board, and I can't.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the whole reason I wanted to do this in the first place was I saw you had mentioned in our Discord chat the one day about how few of the different classes play, like, and because I think the discussion was kind of a what style I like to play. I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know what style I like to play. But then you started to list a few of them. So I thought it, this would be a good opportunity to, or would make a good topic anyway, in addition to the deck definitions, on what are the styles of each class. So if you're picking a druid, why are you picking a druid? What type of style are you more likely to play, and et cetera, et cetera. So I see you've got some brief descriptions here if you want to just kind of go through them and see if I can learn some more of what each class is, the style is more like.
Absolutely. So let's start with druid. Druid has mana acceleration with cards like Innervate and Wild Growth. So Innervate, you've probably seen it. I think every single druid runs this. It's the zero mana card that gives you 2 mana crystals until the end of the turn. So on turn 1, you can play a 3 mana card, or on turn 5, you can play a 7 mana card, or even a 9 mana card if you have 2 Innervates.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Growth is the other druid card for 2 mana that gives you an empty mana crystal. So you play this on turn 2, your turn 3, you have 4 mana crystals, your turn 4, you have 5, etc., etc. It could be very strong. Now, you get 1 extra mana crystal all the way until you get to 10. If you think about that, if you started on turn 2, how many extra mana crystals did you gain over your opponent? 7 throughout the entire game?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty insane. That means you were able to play 7 mana more worth of stuff throughout the entire game than your opponent was able to. And that's not including if you had Innervates.
Now, when you say the mana acceleration, that's also called ramping, right?
Yeah, it's commonly called ramping in the Hearthstone community.
So I just say that because I know a lot of times we'll just throw terms around and Daryl will be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
All the time.
Yeah, so like ramp druid is a common term. Basically, you look at your hand and you're like, well, how can I get the best ramp out of this hand? So on turn 1, I'll innervate out my 3 drop and then I'll play Wild Growth on turn 2. And then on turn 3, I'll play my 4 drop now that I have 4 mana. So it's like, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, and you just start accelerating it early on, so you're able to play, more expensive. Sometimes you end up giving up early game to get that mana advantage. So you know, on turn 5 or 6, you're playing a super expensive minion that you wouldn't normally be able to play until like 7 or 8.
Exactly. So on top of that, Blizzard has kind of tried to push the beast synergy for druids, but it hasn't been super successful. Although the Raven Idol and Mark of Yasharge, I think it's called, has been pretty good. And I think Mark of Yasharge is actually a staple in the token druid deck. But they're also known for playing really high statted creatures that just cost a ton of mana. Okay. And they actually have a class mechanic. They're the only one that have cards that say choose one. I'm sure you've seen those ones.
I saw them today just because I was using Druid in the Brawl because I still have not completed the Druid basic cards. So, yeah.
The Brawl's a great place to do that.
Yeah, so it was, I actually had a card that's, if it says choose one, get both.
Oh, Fandral.
Oh, yeah. That's a legendary one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I wanted to say he's from Old Gods.
Oh, okay. But it was in my Brawl Fandral deck today. Staghelm?
Yeah, so an example of a choose one card is Druid of the Claw. It's a 5-mana 4/4, and it has choose one, gain charge, or gain +2 health and taunt. So it gives you two different options there. For 5-mana, you can either get a nice static taunt, or you can get a charge minion that you want to deal 4 damage to whatever to.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them a lot more versatile than other classes. So then we also have Hunter. So their hero power, it really dictates the way that they play. They're really going to want to aim at the face.
Mm-hmm.
Hero power is 2-mana, deal 2 damage to the opponent's hero. However, they also have mid-range varieties that can be pretty successful. The big thing about Hunters is their beast synergy. They have a lot more of it than Druids. Like Kill Command, 3-mana, if you control a beast, deal 5 damage. Otherwise, it deals 3. It's a really, really strong card, but you have to have a beast out. They also are one of the classes that have weapons at their disposal.
Right.
So Mage is a really straightforward class, I'd say. It's probably the easiest to understand, and they have probably the strongest class spells. They have strong single target removal in Fireball and Polymorph, and some of the strongest AoE removal in the game with Flamestrike, as well as Freeze and Doomsayer combos. See, if you freeze the enemy's minions and then play Doomsayer, the 2-mana 0/7 that at the start of your turn, it destroys all minions on the board. If you can freeze the enemy minions, they'll have to either use a spell to remove it or just give you the board.
Yeah, I've seen that card before. That's a rough one.
It definitely can be if you have no answer to it.
Yeah, especially in early game where a lot of times there is nothing you can do. You know, on turn 2 or 3, there's no way you can answer 7 health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of classes will just play it on turn 2 and it's just, it gets board control early.
Mm-hmm.
But Mage right now has a lot of archetypes that are kind of viable, I'd say. So they can play tempo or control or combo. And even Secrets Mage is kind of a thing right now, which is kind of, I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, hilarious.
Well, it's never really been a thing until recently. So anyway.
Some secrets were like really good, but like the fact that you could just play a deck built around secrets was never like super successful.
Yeah, like so back in the Nax days when you'd play Mad Scientist for the 2-mana 2/2 with a death rattle that plays a secret from your deck, a random secret from your deck, that thing was kind of insane. And so you'd get like 5-mana worth of value just by playing a 2-mana card. And even then, it wasn't really considered Secret Mage, even though you'd play the 2 of those and like 4 or 5 secrets in every mage deck.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't run any of the cards that like synergize with secrets, like the Ethereal Conjurist or the, what is the new one? Actually, let me see. I'm on Hearthstone right now. The Cabal Crystal Runner, the 6-mana 5/5 that costs 2 less for each secret you've played this game. That wasn't around back then, and I don't think it would have worked with Mad Scientist because you're not playing it from your hand. Then we have Paladin. Paladin has a variety of different decks they can play as well. They have an aggro variant as well as a mid-range, and they also have control variants. They have strong buff cards and weapons, and they have very strong removal with equality combos like Equality Consecrate, Wild Pyromancer plus Equality, or even Equality and Primordial Drake. And the ordering on all of those is very important. Unless, of course, you play the Wild Pyro Equality combo. You can actually do Equality, play Wild Pyromancer, and then play another spell. And you'll have a Wild Pyro that lives with 1 health while still getting your board clear, which can be pretty useful sometimes. It's kind of a fringe case, though.
Okay.
They also have a lot of ways to give their minions Divine Shield. Divine Shield's kind of a thing for paladins. They have a lot of minions that just naturally have Divine Shield and ways to give their minions Divine Shield as well. So Priest. Priest is a class that's known for healing and also for copying the cards in your deck and using them against you. It's probably one of the most frustrating things for a lot of people in Hearthstone is when a priest steals their combo cards and then beats you with it.
Yes.
Nice.
Now, the thing about their hero power can get like extreme value. If their high health minions can kill off the enemy minions and then be healed, a lot of people will consider this actually the strongest and the weakest hero power, depending on your board state. A lot of the time, a turn 2 for a priest is just heal your face and then pass, and that's maybe the worst thing you could ever do on turn 2. But you can also heal a minion for 2-mana and heal it back up to full health after killing a minion, and then all of a sudden, your opponent still has to deal with your minion that has full health now. even though it's already killed a card.
Right.
Okay. Well, and then you have like the card, it's the North Sire Cleric. It's a one mana, 1/3 that every time you heal one of a damaged minion on the board, it will draw a card for you. So that can be super powerful, even though it's a really cheap, you know, kind of not, it doesn't do a whole lot, but it's a really powerful card.
For sure. It's a very scary card to play against. It's one of those cards that people Doomsayer against. Just like a priest will play out Northshire Cleric on turn one, and the person will play Doomsayer. And then if the priest is clever, the priest will hit the Doomsayer and then heal the Doomsayer to draw a card anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's kind of a typical back and forth that you'll see between priests and different classes that use Doomsayer.
Okay.
So then we have Rogue. Rogue has historically been known as a tempo class. Like I was saying earlier, their hero power nets twice as much damage for the same mana cost as similar hero powers, like Mage and Druid. Basically, mm-hmm. the difference is that you pay health as a resource, and you take up your weapon slot, so you can't equip another one without destroying your hero power. Sorry, without destroying the weapon from your hero power.
Right, okay.
So rogues will often sacrifice cards in their hand to get a better board state than you very quickly. And I think I'd say right now, Quest Rogue, the one that you're playing, is one mm-hmm. of the most popular decks in the game. As for the class mechanics, rogues have combo, which you were talking about earlier, which is not the same as a combo deck. A combo card has the word combo on it. And what it does is it requires you to play a card before it that turn to activate the effect. So like SI7 Agent, that 3-mana 3/3 earlier, you have to play a card before you play that, and then it'll deal 2 damage to whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They also have a stealth mechanic, but that went away a little bit in the year of the Mammoth, when they released the new set. Conceal actually went to the Hall of Fame and is no longer in Standard. And so you can't give your minions stealth with that card anymore.
Can you imagine Quest Rogue with Conceal? I know it doesn't play into that quest super well, but I think it would still be like kind of ridiculous.
I could see you using it to like stall while you, like if you have another bouncer in your hand, but you don't have the mana to play it, but you have mana to play Conceal, you can conceal the minion you want to bounce and then bounce it next turn.
Mm-hmm. Or like hide things to the turn before you get to play the quest.
Oh, geez. I didn't even think of that. Like turn 6. Oh, geez. That actually would be really good because a lot of the time you'll see people kill off the really small cards that a rogue has on the board right before they play the quest. Mm-hmm. Because effectively those minions next turn are 5/5s. So why not kill them when they're 1/2s?
Right. Anytime I'm playing against a quest rogue, if I know that they're done with their quest or about to be done, it's like, it's not like, can I kill their 3/2? It's like, how much of this board can I get rid of?
I won 2 games today because they didn't clear right before I played. So I played I had 6 on there, 6 minions, and he just went straight face. And I played my quest card and took him from 30 to nothing on the same turn because he didn't clear my 1/1s, my 1/2s.
Yeah, and they were actually 5/5s. He just, for some reason, didn't see that.
So 6 times 5 is 30. He was done. So, yeah, that felt good.
That's amazing.
It's like, what are you doing, buddy? You're going to lose. But, yeah, usually they clear him. And then it's just frustrating. But yeah.
That's the smart way to play against Quest Rogue, especially if they've just completed the quest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyway, next we have the Shaman class, and their identity is totems. They have a lot of cards that get better when they play more totems, and they like to put a lot of minions on the board to trade into enemies with buffs. Some totems are cards, and 4 non-collectible ones are created by your hero power at random. They are the 0/2 Stoneclaw Totem with Taunt, the 0/2 Wrath of Air Totem with Spell Power, the 1/1 Searing Totem, and the 0/2 Healing Totem that restores 1 health to all friendly minions at the end of your turn. That one can be particularly frustrating along with the Spell Power one if they have the right cards. They also are another class that can use weapons, and they actually have a class mechanic that no other class has called Overload. So the easiest way to understand Overload is you borrow mana from your next turn to play a more powerful card this turn. So let's say Lava Burst is a good example. It's a 3-mana card with 2 Overload. So that means you play it on turn 3. That means your turn 4, you can only play with 2 mana crystals. and then they'll be restored the next turn. So on 5, you'll still have 5 mana crystals, but for that turn, 2 of them are locked. And it can give you a huge tempo swing, but then your next turn usually is a lot weaker in exchange.
So if it's a 3 mana, so explain that to me again. So if it's, mm-hmm. you said that had 3 mana card with 2 overload, so does that mean it's a total yep. of 5? So it's taking 3 yeah, this so, turn and 2 next turn?
Exactly. In total, oh, okay. you're paying 5 mana for a 3 mana cost 2 overload card.
Okay, gotcha.
But
okay.
generally, the effect of the card is something that you're kind of like, I want to make that sacrifice now. I want mm-hmm. to, you know, lose, you know, forgo that mana next turn to get this effect right now.
Yeah, like I want tempo now, and next turn, my turn's not going to be as good, but that's okay because this turn is really good. You know, like on 4 mana, I played a 7/7 minion, so I don't care that much that on turn 5 I only have 3 mana.
Right, yeah, gotcha.
Or like there's the shaman card, Lightning Storm, I believe it is. It's a 3 mana card that will do damage across the entire board, so it's a kind of helps clear up the smaller minions, ton of AoE, but you're getting overloaded for that, so it's kind of a bit of a trade-off. Like you could do a lot of damage to their entire board, but you're giving up some mana for
them. Right. Okay.
So then we have the Warlock class. They have a few different things. First off, they have a lot of different cards that synergize with demons. They're considered to have one of the stronger hero powers in the game. They trade 2 mana and 2 HP for a card draw once per turn. But even though they have that hero power, they're not considered very strong right now because they're countered by the heavy aggro meta that we have. Warlocks can't afford to really pay 2 HP to gain a card every turn. They lose tempo and they gain card advantage, but they lose health and then aggro just runs them over.
Mm-hmm.
They have a class mechanic that is the discard mechanic, and it has synergy with other cards that get summoned or become stronger when they're discarded, as well as some other things. Then we have Warrior. Warrior has a lot of charge minions, but it also has a lot of taunt minions and a lot of ways to gain armor. And so because of that, you can play this class in a controlling or a more aggressive manner. And actually, this class has arguably the best weapon in the game, Fiery War Axe, the 2-mana, 3-2 weapon that every enemy warrior has in their starting hand ever.
Guaranteed.
It's guaranteed. If you're playing Warrior, you sometimes get the Win Axe, but every single time you're playing against an enemy Warrior, they always have the Win Axe in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can guarantee it.
Yeah, if you're trying to decide on if you want to play a minion that you want to stick and you're playing against a Warrior, they're probably going to kill it like on your first 1 or 2 turns because it's guaranteed they're going to have that stupid axe.
Mm-hmm. They will. And on the flip side, you don't just not play anything either because they're going to get value out of that weapon at some point anyway. So even if you have to play a minion into a weapon that you don't want to, sometimes you have to just to get rid of that weapon charge, you know?
Yep.
So that's all the classes there.
The thing about Warriors, though, is they have, like, I don't know, a lot of the classes do, but Warriors really have, like, multiple ways to play it. You know, there's the Pirate Aggro Warrior that can kill you by turn 4. And then there's the quest or taunt warrior that, you know, that is just going to take you to fatigue and outlast you.
Yeah, the aggro warrior wants to kill you by turn 4, and the other warrior wants to play the inevitability game where his hero power just eventually kills you because you run out of stuff to play.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's a few other terms here. Now, this next one, uptrading, you were using this when you were helping me build a zoo deck last week, and I didn't really understand what uptrading meant. So what is uptrading? Because you were saying that was a thing that a zoo deck does.
Zoo deck does that a lot, and it's one of the best examples of a deck that trades up a lot. So trading up is when you play a card that costs less mana than your opponent played and use it to kill your opponent's card. So if I use a 2-mana card that has 2 attack and destroy my opponent's 3-mana card that has 2 HP, I traded up into that card, and I've gained a 1-mana advantage on my opponent. Both of our minions died, but I did it using one last mana crystal, and that means I'm 1-mana crystal ahead, assuming that we're both playing to our maximum mana each turn. So one of the things that Warlock will do a lot is they'll play a lot of stuff onto the board, and then they'll play minions that buff their minions, like Direwolf Alpha and Abusive Sergeant. And then they can use their really small minions with the attack buff games to kill really big minions. So like a 1-mana minion might take out a 4-mana minion with that health buff, or with that attack buff, sorry. and that's also considered trading up.
Okay.
So you also said other stuff you don't know you know?
Yeah.
You don't know you don't know?
Yes.
Card counting.
So the only other thing that I could think of off the top of my head was value trading. And so that's when you use a minion to kill an opponent's minion and your minion stays alive. So for example, you have a 4-mana 4/5 Yeti on the board and it hits their 2-mana 3/2 minion. Your Yeti has 2 HP left and it still needs to be dealt with. So your Yeti already killed a card, but it's still on the board and still your opponent has to deal with it somehow, probably using another card to do so. And that's a value trade. When okay. your card makes them use more than one card to deal with it total, that's value. And that's what people mean when they say value.
Okay. All right. So here's a question I threw in here at the end. I think it was sometime this afternoon I was getting my face smashed in. But how can I get better at the game? Because you had linked, someone had gotten to Legendary with a Hunter deck and they didn't spend any money doing it, any real cash. They started a new account just to do this and see how far they could go and get Legendary. So anyway, I recreated that deck and I went from 18 to 19. And that seems to be what happens every time I try and use it. So I'm clearly still doing something wrong. And how can I get better at the game where I can at least use these, play these decks effectively or to their max potential? Cause I'm sure I'm still doing stuff wrong. I know I am, like, and a lot. So what are the options or what are the best options to improve?
That's kind of a really hard question, but I'll take a crack at it. So you say, I know you're talking about the video I linked you was Disguised Toast video. He's a popular Hearthstone content creator. He's also a player who regularly reaches legend rank on mm-hmm. the ladder. And I want to say he can do it with multiple accounts in a season or has done it with multiple accounts in one season. And so he's pretty knowledgeable and pretty good at the game. And I know that you're still like just starting. So even though you're playing the exact same deck, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the same exact results. The best way to get better at the game is just to keep playing, man. Like, the more you see cards, the more you see what cards are played against you, the more you see what cards work really well against you, the better you'll be able to play against those decks. So, like, as an example, when I'm playing my Tempo Hunter decks, I have two high mains in the deck. You know, the Hunter Legendary, Savannah High Main.
No, I don't
know. It's the only Legendary you can have two of in the deck.
Okay.
It's actually rare.
It's a Legendary with a blue... With the blue crystal in the middle of it, right?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a legendary that for some reason is a blue. I don't get it.
Yeah, they've marked it as a rare, but honestly, it's a legendary.
Okay.
But it's so good. It's the 6-mana 6/5 beast with a death rattle, summon 2/2/2 hyenas when you die. So a card that's really, really, really strong against that in Rogue is Sap. If I'm playing against Rogue, a lot of the time, I just won't play that card on turn 6 because getting it sapped on turn 6 is so devastating. They return it to your hand. You have to pay 6 more mana to put it back out, and they've only spent 2 mana to do that to you. So they get to play 4 mana this turn, and then they're freaking 7 mana the next turn or whatever. Yeah. And it's just really frustrating. So there are certain decks and certain classes you'll come up against. And you'll be like, oh, they have this card typically or that card in this deck. So you'll kind of play around that stuff. That's one of the ways to get good at the game. Another way is to just like watch a lot of videos on the game. One of the most knowledgeable people that I tried to link you to before was Trump SC, and he does a lot of instructional videos on his channel, but I think you had kind of a hard time listening to him a long time ago.
How long ago?
It was a really long time ago. It was like a year ago.
Probably when I was like, this game is just the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. Why am I doing this? I better stop before I throw my phone across the room. It was probably in that phase. So yeah, I probably didn't watch
There's entertaining and even educational, you know, like Hearthstone content creators. And they put out, a lot of them put out at least one video a day. Some of them put out two. But these videos are anywhere from like 5, 10, 15 minute videos. So if you have the time and you're interested at all, I can... I'd definitely point you to some of my favorite content creators that like I look forward to their videos every day, and their videos are not always them kicking butt. It's some of them are them just getting the horrible RNG and a bad loss, or just really funny things that can happen, or completely, you know, there's no way this they should have died and they ended up winning it, like, mm-hmm. but like the more you see and the more you practice, but the more you see this stuff too, and you hear them even responding to, you know, interacting with chat, I did this because of this, or you know, like just kind of talking through a lot of the plays, you start to go, oh, okay, well that makes sense, you know.
And, you know, another thing to remember about Hearthstone is it's a game of variants too. So you can create a deck and let's say it's one of the best decks in the world. Let's just pretend, right? You can still go 2-8 with that deck, you know, just because sometimes you'll get unlucky. And that's just the way Hearthstone is, unfortunately, mm-hmm. or fortunately, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, I've had to just walk away a few times, like a deck that's supposed to be really good. And I lost 5 games in a row with it. And I'm like, you know, screw this game. I hate mm-hmm. this. And then you come back like the next day and just go on a win streak with the exact same deck. You know, it's just, you never know. Like, you know, you hit rank 12 one month and the next month you're slumming it at 18, you know, like you can't always get the same results, but you can see the more you play, you could see that you're getting better. Like I was playing a Tavern Brawl against Justin earlier and I made this play and it like, the second I hit intern, I was just like, oh my God, that was terrible. What, like, I played it out of order. I played it out of position. I did, you know, all these things that I was like, that was so bad. Why did I just do that? But like, I knew in the moment and immediately I was like, okay, if I would have done this, this, and this, it would have been better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't think we talked about positioning.
Positioning is pretty important, especially for decks like Zoo.
That under stuff that I don't know that I don't know.
Well, when we talked about that, not on the podcast, of course, but last week we talked about that a bit when you guys were helping me make that Zoo deck. So that was also something I didn't realize was important.
Oh, yeah,
important,
yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah, with the minions above the mm-hmm. the minions around it. And now in terms of positioning, to consider cards that you're playing against, you know, a lot of times if you're playing against a mage, they have a what the heck is that called? Meteor
and Cone of Cold.
Yeah, and they have cards that will actually do more damage to the primary minion and then less damage to the outside minions. So the way that you position your minions, you know, you don't want to put your big guy in the middle and your weak ones on the outside. You know, you can kind of think around, like, you know, if they are going to hit me with that, you know, here's how I can walk away with the least amount of damage, you know.
A common thing you can do against cards that target like that and are based on adjacent minions is you can put like a stealth minion in the middle and then they can't target, like, let's say, you know, a Cone of Cold, the 4-mana mage spell, deal 1 damage to a target and its adjacent minions and freeze all 3 of them.
Okay.
Well, if the middle minion is stealthed, they can't target a stealth minion with a spell. So they have to target one of the ones on the outside and only hit 2 targets instead of 3 with their Cone of Cold. So there are different things you can do to position your minions in a way that's advantageous to you.
Okay.
Some other minions can't be targeted by spells or hero powers, like adapt minions, and some minions have it innately, like Fairy Dragon and Sogoth and Laughing Sister from Ysera.
Okay.
So it's just, I mean, the obvious answer is to practice.
Yeah.
If you're having fun with Quest Rogue, like, a lot of people like one archetype or one style of deck, and that's all they ever play. Like, I'm the kind of person that, like, every time I log in, I'm like, okay, what quest do I have? You know what? I feel like playing Priest right now. You know what? I feel like playing Druid right now. So it's like, I don't always lock in on one, but the problem with that is like, I never get, like, super good at one deck because I'm just constantly playing everything. It's kind of like playing Heroes of the Storm. Like, when you're just constantly playing different guys, you go back to that one that you thought you were good at, and you're like, oh, crap, I'm not really. I'm totally out of practice with this one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I've kind of focused on Quest Rogue is because that's the card I got, really. I got the Quest.
Yeah, you were able to make that deck.
And that's
required you to spend money and, you know.
Yeah, I got that card, so that's why I made that deck. But then, you know, that's why I also had you guys help me make the Zoo and I made that Hunter one. But I'm not doing very well with those other ones where I'm still able to do somewhat okay with the Rogue deck. So that's why I'm still playing it, is because I can get a modest amount of success with it at least. Where if I played the other two, it's like I'm walking backwards, and then I got to play the Rogue again to get back up to 18, and then I'll try the other ones because I have a quest for them, and then I'll go back down to like 19, and then I got to trade the Rogue again to get back up. So This seems to be the way it's been going this month anyway.
It depends on if you're really focused on ladder too. I think a lot of people just don't care. They just want the card back for hitting, what is it, 20? Mm-hmm. And then people will play in casual rather than ranked, or they'll play tavern brawls or arena. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, if you're trying to do ladder and like rank up in ladder, like you're going to probably run into a lot of people that are playing, you know, popular successful decks. And that's just like by nature, it's just going to be more difficult.
Yeah.
And not only that, but some decks just have bad matchups and good matchups. Well, every deck has good and bad matchups. So, you know, some decks you'll have about a 70% chance to win against, and other decks you'll be the 30% chance to win, you know? So a good way to kind of track that is, again, those deck trackers, when they track, when you play games with it open, they actually track your wins and losses and against what class those wins and losses were. So you can actually say, oh, this deck, you know, loses a lot against Hunter, but it wins a lot against Priest and Warrior. So you can kind of tell what matchups are your bad ones, and you can try to play in a way that hedges your bets against that, you know?
Well, unfortunately, mm-hmm. there is no deck out there that's just good at beating everything. You know, kind of, it's a bit of a circle. There's a counter to everything, and so there's no way that, you know, just one deck type or class is just going to stomp through everything.
Exactly. And if it did, that would stink, because then everybody would just be playing that until they found a counter to it, and then everybody would play its counter. And it would be a very boring metagame. This metagame is one of the more diverse ones since the beginning of Hearthstone. I think every class has at least one viable deck.
Except Warlock.
Poor Warlock. They are universally considered the weakest, but as Blizzard says, when you list all nine classes in order of best to worst, there's always going to be one that's going to be at the bottom.
Yeah, you're probably right. Oh, well, they got buffed in Warcraft, so that's all good.
There you go. You got your Warlock fix over there.
Yeah, I did. It was lovely. I really enjoyed that.
You play Rogue here and Warlock there.
Yep, because I don't want to play Rogue over there, because that's just awful. All right, well, I don't think I have any other questions right now, so maybe we should wrap this up. Unless you guys have something else you want to add?
No, I think... I don't know if I want to try and just tell you, link you like a specific content creator to check out, or maybe just some video specifically that I thought were good or funny or helpful. I'll hit you up with that stuff.
All right.
I think it could definitely be helpful for him to get some more educational stuff. Like that, you know, you can watch Crip all day and he's an amazing player, but he's not the kind of player that always explains his plays. And you can definitely find people who will explain every single thing they do, why they did it. You know, one day you could just spectate Rob or I, and we can just tell you, hey, this is why I did this, and this is why I did this. Like, when Rob watches me, I'm constantly telling him, oh, this is why I did this. This is why I played this card.
Yeah, like, anytime mm-hmm. I'm watching Justin, it's basically just an ongoing conversation. Even if I'm just laughing at something that he did or whatever, you know, it's mm-hmm. like... It's like every, you know, it's just this full on like, hey, I see. You see what I'm going to do next? Or yep, he just played that. I knew that was coming. Here's, you know, I'm screwed now. Or here's what I'm going to do. Or
it could be a good learning experience. And it's very fun, too, just to watch somebody play sometimes.
I mean, I will log in sometimes, like on my phone at work, and just have it propped up there. And I'll just be like, I'll be like watching somebody play. You know, I'm like, I'm not even playing. I'm just sitting there watching.
Yeah, I've caught you spectating my games a couple times.
Well, absolutely, man.
That's probably more for the laughs. Like, oh my God, what's he doing?
Not at all, man. I have hit that spectate button and watched you like whoop the tar out of somebody a few times, man.
That's awesome to hear.
Well, it's the RNG. Like, I've had games, so the Quest Rogue, I've had games where I've been able to play my quest card on turn four. Like, actually play it on turn four. And then I've had times where it's turn nine and I still don't have it because I haven't gotten any bounce cards, and then I'm done because they killed me because I couldn't do anything. So
That quest rogue, man, I've finished the quest on turn two before, and it was just like, guess I gotta wait till I can actually play the the crystal core. And then, like you said, there's times where I'm just like, oh, I guess I won't be finishing the quest at all this game, and it's turn 10.
So all right. Well, if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It's the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests like Justin you've heard on the show. That's discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you have for shout-outs this evening?
You know, I said this a bunch of times, but I'm going to say it again. Definitely Justin. He has been a rock for me in all of these different games. He's helped me in Warcraft get through this. There's some simming garbage that I was struggling with and really helped me through Hearthstone and, you know, talking through heroes and all sorts of stuff. So, like, everybody needs a Justin in their life. So, definitely shout out to Justin. Tiffany, who came and tanked for us this last week, and Ron the Alcoholic. Those guys are doing a great job. I think Tiffany doesn't have a ton of experience, but she, like, tore it up. She did a really good job. So, definitely thanks to the folks that are interested in and wanting to come and tank for the team as we head into the Tomb of Sarkhan. Daryl, what do you got?
Man, I was going to say Ron and Tiffany, too. You do this, like, every time.
Hey, man, are you letting me go first? That's what
Yeah. I know. Anyway, but yeah, like Rob said, we put it out there for we were looking for tanks, and we had Ron and Tiffany both respond that they were interested. We had two others. I'll give a shout out to them as well. There was Zilgadis and RJMAR, who both expressed interest, but unfortunately their schedules didn't jive. I think those two are also on Mythic teams where they're going to be a lot busier coming into Tomb. So anyway, a shout out to them for at least the offer and thinking of us, and definitely Ron and Tiffany for stepping up, and hopefully we'll be able to push some progression there in Tomb when it comes out next week. And yeah, of course, a big shout out to Justin for helping me out in Hearthstone here. And I know I've come to you quite a few times with just questions. So, and I'm sure I'll keep doing that. So a big shout out and a thanks to you. What do you got for us, Justin, for shout outs?
The guildies, man, had one job, definitely to Ron and Tiffany for the tanking. We needed two tanks, but man, just to any of the guildies who might be listening, shout out to you guys. You guys are the best part of my life.
People who tank so that we don't have to.
Yes.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, Justin, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else besides in the Trading Dummies Discord?
Yes, I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/Ignatium_. IGNATIUM_. Just send me an @.
That's it. Episode 169, The Training Dummies. It's all done. You can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!